Well, our salute to the flag is a reminder of our freedom, and we certainly appreciate the freedom that we have today and those who are serving and providing that freedom for us. And we never forget them. They're never out of our thoughts or prayers. We're also glad that you're here today on Mother's Day, and far more meaningful to some than others, but I think meaningful to everybody. Hands of everybody who has a mother, hands of everybody who is a mother. See, that takes care. That's the most politically correct church thing like on Mother's Day you'll ever see. Because if you've ever had a mother or are a mother, you had to put your hand up there at one point. But we don't do the oldest, youngest, most kids, most beautiful kids, ugliest kids type thing that goes on a lot of churches, but there you have it. So I think you're going to have a beautiful day for Mother's Day, and enjoy that time. As far as our announcements go this morning, we do have a spring break coming up, and so you need to be aware of that. This is a little bonus that was given to me as a gift for the 20th anniversary, and so we are going to be on break the last 2 weeks of this month. And so this is the last Sunday that we will be meeting in the month of May. Excuse me. We will have one more Bible class on Wednesday night, Bible classes. The two sessions on Wednesday night will be normal sessions, and then we will be on break. The break is out on the bulletin board, and we're going to basically be on break from May 19th to June 1st. And Bible class will resume Sunday, that's Sunday, June the 2nd, Sunday, June the 2nd at our normal times. So please be advised of that, and gives, like I say, you a break from me a break from you, and hopefully come back refreshed and ready to go and get going on into starting to deal with our instruction of judgment. So are there any other announcements that we need to make the assembly aware of this morning? Anything you'd like to announce or, okay. All right, now please would you open your Bibles to the 139th Psalm. The 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. And this is what it says. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path with and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And then verses 19, 20, 21, 22 all really have to do and pertain to God's program with Israel and things that the remnant is going to do and operate on when they pick up this psalm and operate on it in God's program when He completes and fulfills His program with them. But the last two verses say, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Before we get underway, let's take a few moments of silent prayer, as we always do. It gives you a few moments to lay aside the cares, concerns, and problems of your day, and not concentrate upon them, but upon the passage and the objective at hand. Therefore, in preparation of our service this morning, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to have the Word of God in our hands this morning. It is the greatest possession we own, greatest thing on this earth, and we thank You for it. We thank You to have this inerrant, infallible copy of it that we can trust in every word of it, and then to know that it is the power to change us in our inner man and in our outer. We thank You for all of these things that are ours today, especially our sonship status, which we have by grace, and is made possible through the cross of Jesus Christ. We're grateful for all that He has redeemed us from. We're grateful to have the Spirit leading us through this curriculum. And we just ask for Your wisdom as we continue to review some things that are very critical for us to have uppermost in our mind when we begin to think about moving into receiving from You the instruction of judgment. We just pray that have Your wisdom on all these matters this morning, and that these things properly and effectually do their job, that we may benefit fully from them. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now we're going to eventually, maybe today, but we're eventually going to get into a little bit of a review of the 139th Psalm. There's a big difference between the last time that we went over sonship prayer, which is what we're dealing with, in a review, which is going to be the last real review that we do before we begin to address the issue of receiving the instruction of judgment. But there's a huge difference between what we went over and even in me going back over and reviewing some of the things that we taught it's been years ago now, when we first introduced sonship and what it was all about, and when we were going through Romans chapter 8, and especially verses 26 and 27 that deals with the issue of sonship prayer, the searching of the heart. And at least until you get along in your Christian life and your sonship life, dealing with this marvelous provision that God has made for the Holy Spirit to make intercession for you with groanings which cannot be uttered and all of this kind of thing. I'm not sure that we're going to go over all of those issues as far as... I think you're pretty familiar with what that ministry of the Holy Spirit is about. My interest really here is that we start to look at things now because a little differently, because things are different. When it comes to sonship prayer, you're not standing in Romans 8, 26 and 7 anymore. You're not just in sonship establishment. You're not just window shopping. You're not outside looking in. And there's so many things that we said that I would preface it by saying, when we're finally in the curriculum, it's going to be thus and so. And when we finally get in the curriculum, then you're going to see things a little differently. Well, you should begin to see things differently because you've got two major components now of receiving four of the major fundamental, foundational, and basic sonship decision-making skills that you need to receive the instruction of wisdom and justice. And that comprises nine components, six in wisdom, three in justice. And just as we ended the instruction of justice and we talked about the fact that, boy, that really puts a whole different spin on especially that final component dealing with government and the way we, you know, it's almost the conservative Christian American's rite of passage to just whine, moan, complain about their government. And so it runs so counter across the grain to so many things that even I personally felt and spent a lot of energy thinking about and maybe even wringing my hands about and longing back, thinking about nostalgically, if it was only the way it was when I was thus and so, and all these kinds of things. That had such an impact on us that it's really taken us some time to make some adjustments to deal with all of that. And so this time that we've taken in review hopefully has given you time to allow life to be able to present you with being able to utilize these components, and some of them are going to be every day. Others are going to be situational, but the time has come where you should be now fairly used to using some of this information. Well, sonship prayer is going to be very important to this. It's going to have a bearing upon all of this, and it really is one of the things that makes it the active thing that it is in your life, because it's the time in which you settle these matters out with your Father, as you go over your day with Him, and as David did here. This 139th Psalm is going to be really important for us to look at, but it's going to be a lot of fun to look at now, because we're not just looking at it as what will be somewhere in the future, but this is something that we can look at and say, this is how the searching of our heart should be taking place right now, even with these two decision-making skills. And that's a fundamental issue, and it's really a marvelous issue that when Paul addresses the issue of the searching of the heart in Romans 8, 26 and 7 there, especially in 27, he doesn't ever come along and say, now, you don't know what all that means, so I'm going to have to teach you everything there is to know about God searching your heart. He doesn't even, he just simply talks about the heart being searched there and goes right on. That's because you're already to know how that occurs, and what the mechanics of it are, and what the need of it is, and those kinds of things. And it's really set forth in God's Word before you would ever get to the book of Romans. And so that's one of the things that we're going to do as we now kind of move from talking about prayer in general, what it's not. We're not going to be praying that God's omnipotent hand intervene into the circumstances of life, but that we've gotten to really appreciate a basic and fundamental understanding for how we are to be praying in this dispensation of grace. Romans 8, 26 and 7 doesn't come along and say you don't know how to pray. It says you do not know what to pray for as you ought. And there are some things we're going to address this morning yet that's going to underscore that fact. And the fact of the matter is, some of those things should start falling away already, because you've got 9 things up here that you know how to pray for. And some of those things are going to touch you during your day. If you're not going to work today, most of you or all of you will probably be going to work tomorrow, either work or school. Well, you've got some components up here that's going to have a bearing on how you're going to go about doing your business. And one of the things that this father-son, father-daughter relationship is about is, of course, it's a real bidirectional communication relationship, that you want to go over your day with your Father, go out and do that day's work, come back and review it, and then prepare for the next day. And that's pretty much how a son operates. But a couple of the things that we've done in connection with sonship prayer that has kind of turned a little corner on this for us is that instead of when somebody wants you to pray for them or pray for a particular situation, of just say throwing up some kind of, well, whatever, like I used to do, what God, whatever you can do, please do, you know, type thing. As we said last time, the truth of the matter is, what you should be doing now is saying, all right, I've got some information. I know some things now. I know some things about wisdom. I know some things about justice. I know some things about how a properly educated son would live, how he thinks, how my Father thinks, how life is to be lived. And really, wisdom did that. And you're going to see David talking about here in the 139th Psalm, he's going to talk about, thou compassed my path. And that's just like when we used a compass and when we were in school, and you would inscribe a circle, and this is kind of not just simply a circle, it's almost like a sphere that just encompasses every way you would turn. It's almost like a 360 degree bubble in which you exist. And he talks about besetting before and behind, all these kinds of things. What I'm after is that wisdom did that, and justice did that. It began that process of making it so that you could not go in any part of your life and not carry some of that wisdom and justice with you, and for it to be used and be applicable. So you know some things. And this is where the nitty-gritty rubber meets the road begins to happen, because when you know something, you become responsible. And that's one of the big things about being an adult. As you learn, as you know, you become more and more responsible. And so you're going to be responsible for that wisdom that you learned. You're going to be responsible for some of it being put into practice and utilized every day of your life. Other things, as I say, are going to be situational. But you're responsible for that. And it's going to be even more critical when you get into judgment and equity. So it's going to be prayer in light of what I now know. It's not, oh God, please help this person if you can. I know, you know, whatever you can do, do. No, it's you. You are going to be. One of those components of wisdom was that you, within the saints in the local assembly in which you live, and it's going to be carried outside, but at first it's developed right in here, you're going to be showing mercy with cheerfulness. And then you're going to be distributing to the necessity of saints. It's not God's omnipotent hand manipulating it's intelligized sons that are doing it. You're the prayer. And so the prayer is more of, in light of what I now know, what should I now do? That's where sonship prayer is going to get settled out. Because you're the mercy minister. You're the one that's going to be utilized in operations of your Father to do various things. And if you can't and someone else can, then some of that sonship prayer may go into the issue of thinking your way through and understanding and appreciating how you could encourage someone else. And say, you know, you really have the opportunity here, and I'd like to do whatever I can to help you help them. And sometimes there's a chain of events that gets, but those are things that you get settled out. But that becomes kind of a, not that we're looking for a mantra or anything along those lines, but that little phrase helps to kind of turn that corner from, well, I don't know what to really pray for. Well, now you do. You're the one with the information. You're the one with the knowledge that they need to have. And whether it's an unbeliever who needs the gospel of Christ, or whether it's a saint who needs some mercy shown to them, you can do that. You have some information to operate on. Now, it's not nearly to the degree that it's going to be. But as you read Paul's epistles, and you read the latter part of Romans, you read some of his other epistles out there, and you're going to see that interfacing of the saints who are, you know, Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, he doesn't tell the saints, hey, I'll tell you what we're going to do. And I've heard this happen. You know, somebody had a tent revival, and they stood up there, and they, you know, they're inviting people to come in. They get on the radio, and they want people to come in to the tent revival. Hey, we're having a great time where there's miracles and signs and wonders happening all the time. If you want to get your, we had a lady the other night who came forward and laid her checkbook on the altar, and God healed her finances, and she went home then the next day, and there was a check in the mail, and all this money was hers that she didn't find all, and Paul didn't, there's no instruction in 2 Corinthians when he talks about giving under grace that has anything to do with that. It was other saints that were doing the giving. Paul didn't come along and say, well, come and bring your purse and your little coin bag, and we're going to lay it on the altar. And that's just absolute asinine. And there is no divine working in that whatsoever. And you'll never convince anybody that there's not. I'm not trying to tell you this to go out and convince somebody or go on a, you know, pilgrimage to try to to get these people to change their mind. Most of them will never change their mind. But it's not biblically sound. It doesn't work that way. And that's not how we're instructed. So that's why I'm saying that when it comes to knowing some information, you're going to be the means in most of the time. Now, I'm not saying that this is everything there is to do with sonship prayer. I'm just saying this is one element that maybe now the light switch may be turned on to where you say, oh, okay, this adds to my understanding of sonship prayer. And in a lot of ways, what's going to happen is this little saying that we have, this is not in the Bible, but it's a helpful thing when it comes to settling out what you know and how you're going to then function, what you're going to then do. And one of these things that comes out of that is you're going to have to, and we're going to talk about this when we deal with the searching of the heart, you're going to have to talk to your Father, and you're going to have to be able to have His part done back to you. And there's not going to be any audible sound. He's not going to be giving you voices in your head. But there is a way to know when your heart has been searched. And what you've heard me say what I'm about to put on the board probably 100 times. So it's not a new thing. But it's going to be a very important thing when it comes to understanding what is taking place when my heart gets searched. And then when I determine I'm going to go down this particular path, that's the path I'm going to take. I know of all the paths I could take, what may be good, better, best, that's the best one, and that's the one I'm going to go down because I have spent time with my Father and Him searching my heart. You're not going to have your heart searched every time you pray. It's when those big times come that you are going to have to make a determination upon a particular path in a particular case and that's the one you're going to go down. And there's something you're looking for when you and your Father discuss that together by means of the effectual working of His Word. But one of the ways that's helpful, and that's all this is, to be able to say, all right, usually it's going to involve one of two things. When you're going to come to somebody's help, somebody who's suffering, somebody who's got a need or a necessity, or even a want, it's usually going to be one of two things. You're either going to say something or you're going to do something. And one of the things that you're always going to kind of have in the front of your thinking when you're taking the curriculum and you've got 9 components of it, 2 major portions of it, that you could sit down with your Father and you could say, okay, I know Thanksgiving's coming up. I know the family's all going to be there. We're going to have all these people. Some of them are this, some of them are that. I've got an opportunity here. And you may want to just remind yourself of some of the things that are sitting in wisdom and justice. And I'm not saying Thanksgiving's coming up. I'm just using it as an illustration. I know it's way far off. But when you've got a situation where you've got some paths that you could take, you know what the average Christian response is, but you know what the sonship response is. At the same time, you don't want to be an offense or a stumbling block to a weaker brother. So when you're sorting these things out, and then you say, okay, this is what I'm going to say, this is what I'm going to do. One of the ways that's helpful to be able to determine why are you doing that? Would your Father be sitting there nodding his head saying, you know what, son, that's exactly what I'd do myself? Why? Why do you know that's exactly what he would do himself? And it goes to that little saying we just had previously. Because you know something. How do you know it? How do you know it? How did you come to know it? How did you come to know the curriculum? You were led by the Spirit through it. You were taught it, right? That's one of the reasons why you are the way you are. You are a human being that is designed to be taught. This is what makes us different from animals. Scientists see no difference, but there's a huge difference between human beings and animals, even monkeys, even your dog or your cat. There's a big difference. But one of the differences is you are to be taught. You were taught that. And that's a big, big matter. And that's going to be kind of a litmus test or a guide for the things that you say and the things that you do. I always like that first stanza of that very old and wonderful hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And Horatio Spafford wrote that hymn about a tragedy of losing basically his entire family at sea. But that it says, when it says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Even he understood, I'm operating upon what I was taught. And one of the things that I think becomes a good little, you can take it or leave it, whatever it's worth to you, it's certainly not scripture, but it's one of those things that kind of allows us to kind of put some perspective upon how we're dealing with some things in sonship prayer. When you've settled a matter out, and you're going to go out and either you're going to approach somebody with that information and say something to them, or you're going to do something, when it comes to the issue of what I do, and you can fill in the blank, I'm not going to put it up there. You kind of ask yourself that question, are you doing that? Whatever it is. And this can go to everything in your life. Are you doing that? Or are you saying that? And pretty much that's going to be the realm of where you're going to function. But are you doing that? Are you saying that? Because my Father taught me to do that. My Father taught me to say that. That's what He taught me. And a lot of that almost destroys a great deal of what goes on in Christian activity today. You know, our church is having a bazaar, which is very appropriate for a lot of churches. They're bizarre. But are you doing that because your Father taught you to do that? I mean, it goes to the running of a local assembly. It goes to your personal life. It goes to your marriage. It goes to your family. It goes to so many things. But are you doing that because your Father taught you to do that? That's what your Father taught you to do. And that's going to be kind of a great little, to me anyway, and sometimes people ask me, well, how do you do that? Well, to me, that's a little thing that's always been kind of powerful when it comes to when I approach things with my Father in sonship prayer, and then I make a determination that this is where I'm going to go, but I'm doing it based upon the Word of God living in me. I'm not mishandling it. And a lot of people are going to say, yeah, I'm doing it because God taught me to do that. But they're operating, you know, they're coming up to you and operating on something out of the gospel accounts or something out of Hebrews through the Revelation or whatever. But your Father didn't teach you to do that. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Right. But your Father is taking you through the curriculum of Romans through Philemon today. He's not taking you through Israel's curriculum. So that goes to an issue again of rightly and properly handling the Word of Truth. By the way, folks, you can rightly divide the Word of Truth and still improperly handle it. It's very possible. When I say properly handling, I mean rightly dividing it and properly handling it. But to me, that kind of gives you a little bit of something to kind of run it through. It's going to be far better just to do it the way we're going to look at it in the 139th Psalm. But that's one of those things that, I mean, even that has a lot of implications. And instead of trying to run the gamut of them or do things along those lines, I'll let you think about that. But take that to your own life. Am I doing what I'm doing because my Father taught me that? Am I saying what I'm saying because my Father taught me that? So I'm just saying it has a kind of some good background to it, or foundation to it, because it really comes, it's really something based upon the way the Word of God is designed to effectually work. Well, let's take a look at some things here. Before we get to the 139th Psalm, there's one other thing. Let me ask you, before we do this, you're okay with, you understand that in Romans 8, 26 and 7, that ministry that the Spirit has of making intercession, those kinds of things, the temporary nature of that, we've discussed that pretty much, that nobody has a real hang-up on that or anything. Because there's something else I want to get to, if that's not a problem. Well, one of the things I want to do is, since Romans 8, 26 and 7 does deal with sonship prayer, with us having to say some things to our Father, and we know from the exhortations in Proverbs, in fact, let's leave the 139th Psalm. All you got to do is flip over just a couple of pages, three or four pages, to Proverbs. And we know from chapter 1 there, and chapter 2 especially, that we're going to be, especially chapter 2 and verse 3, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." When you approach Romans 8, 26 and 7, there you have you doing that. You have you now as a son, as a daughter, get to the opportunity to say some things, and that begins to take place through this magnificent feature of sonship prayer. And so we should find some things in this immediate context here in Proverbs chapter 2 of, there's one other matter I want to look at this morning before we go to the 139th Psalm, where it makes it logical for us to be able to recognize what is the critical nature of having our heart searched. And we need to begin turning our attention to that, because when it comes to our Father, by prayer, by request and supplication for some things at the beginning of the education, we're told that we just oftentimes are not going to know what to request or what to pray for as we ought. And it's pray for, not that we don't know how to pray. Well, when you continue on in the exhortations here in Proverbs chapter 2, that really round out sonship orientation, in verses 6 through 9, I want to focus our attention upon that, because you do find some things there that make us aware of what this education is designed to do for us. So there, after you get through those first five verses, especially the ones that deal with those three ifs, and then the then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Just look, pick it up at verse 6. He says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity." Now this really bores in on what's going to happen when you get this down before you begin to receive the instruction, and as you receive the instruction of judgment and equity in particular. Righteousness mentioned there takes up issues of wisdom and justice. But he actually names by name judgment and equity. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." And that's really the core issue of what judgment and equity is going to be about. You're going to have to determine a path, a course of action that you're going to take. And so when you take a look there at those verses 6 through 9, you do find that we're told some things that make us aware of what this education is designed to do for us, but at the exact same time, we're going to have to engage our Father in this. We're going to have to lift our voices. We're going to have to cry after it. That we're going to have to request and supplicate our Father for some things, because without that bidirectional communication going on, as verse 5 said, we're not going to find the knowledge of God. We just don't know exactly what to pray for as we get ourselves underway as we ought when we begin the education. And I just go over that again to say that we're not trying to force something in the passage there in Proverbs 2, 6 through 9 to be the solution, but logically and doctrinally And basically, it is the solution. And so we need to, just for a moment here, look a little more carefully and remind ourselves of some things there in Proverbs 2, 6 through 9 to gain a better understanding and appreciation for what the education is designed to do for us and what our Father wants us to do with it. And that goes to the things that we were just talking about. When I know something, what then should I do? And when I do that, am I doing it because my Father taught me that? And that's how He's designed the education. I was talking to somebody just this morning about the fact that even before you ever get to sonship, there's so many things that are designed to be effectually working in your inner man so that even after sonship begins, all of that is still fresh and there. It's not compartmentalized and just said, you say, okay, I learned this doctrine, I'm going to put it in a nice little box, and I'm going to set this on the shelf of my soul somewhere. That's not how this is designed to work. That's why I went back and grabbed those threads and I said, you know, from the very beginning of this, your desire was to use this physical body as instruments of righteousness to produce fruit unto holiness that God could accept. But the conundrum was, how in the world could I ever do this with sin and its members? So God gives you a full-blown explanation. That's no problem. I've identified you fully in Christ and all of these things that I have done in Christ to make it so that your both your human mind, your spirit, your soul, your body is all being dealt with by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost who dwells in you at that point, so that you're minding the things of the Spirit, so that you're no longer carnal, but you're spiritually minded, you're walking after the Spirit, and the Spirit quickens your mortal body. All of those things were done so that you could ultimately labor with your Father as a son and as a daughter. Those can't be forgotten. Those can't be set aside. Those can't be compartmentalized. And it should be, I'm not saying it can't become old hat, so to speak. There's kind of a good thing about an old hat, you know. And it's just like second nature. But you're not going to get tripped up by somebody who comes along and says, hey, you can't do, your church is a church of legalism. Your church is a church of works. You're teaching works and legalism and all of this kind, that you've got to work on all these kinds of things. That's like I read on Wednesday night, C.H. McIntosh had it down perfectly when he said, when sonship is finally fully blown and developed, it's got kind of written over the head of it, by grace through faith, without any works of the law. And that's the way it's designed to be. Well, I'm just saying that to say that we understand and appreciate that when our Father is educating us, He expects us to know what the education's designed to do for us and what He expects us to do with it, and how we are to put it into practice. And therefore, He wants us to talk about that to Him, which is going to be a lot of what our sonship prayer is going to be about. Now, we've already established some things that were very critical in the context of Proverbs 2 before we've been here and talked about it several lessons ago now. But in view of the time in which you begin where we are, and that's one of the things that I really want to emphasize in, let me see if it's this one. To emphasize that we are now in the curriculum, we're not looking at it, we're now in it, not on the outside looking at it, we're on the inside looking at it. These things should be effectually working in your inner man. That's going to make a difference now when we come back to these verses and look at them and begin to see that here as we've begun now, phase two of level one, sonship education, that these verses that we're looking at in 6, 7, 8, and 9, these four verses deal with this issue as we begin our proper education when you receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and it's going to go on with judgment and equity. And so we're going to talk about these things in light of now not getting some information, but having gotten some information. And so we see there's some things that are not as generic as you might think when you first read over them, because he talks about paths of judgment there and mentioned in verse 8 and in verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You've got the issue of the fact that you're receiving some information. We've now received some instruction in righteousness. Some instruction is coming to us from, we're getting ready for judgment and equity, and it's going to make it so that you can come along and say, okay, this path is good, this path is not good. And that may seem real elemental, but it is elemental at first. It's very elementary, but it's got to begin somewhere. And even though you could say, well, there's not a lot to that, well, there's not a lot to anything the first time you go over it. But it's just scratching the surface of what these four verses are all about. So what I want to do between now and next session, and I'll definitely try to get us out on time this morning so that we can, some of you might have Mother's Day plans. But I want to examine some things that's being said to us here exhortation-wise a little more closely and get a better grasp on the potentials and the capacities that are in this initial aspect of our sonship education as we are here in level one and phase two and constitute being instructed in wisdom, justice, and then judgment and equity. And we're going to begin to get better and better and improve upon our skills to be able to utilize that information to say it's not just supposed to be laying there in us, but that information is designed to be used. And not just used in one sense, but I could use that in a lot of senses. Heavens, when you got the information that's sitting up here, for instance, in the third component, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, There's not a lot of intensive detail about your job in there. In fact, your job isn't listed there. It just simply says, not slothful in business. Well, he doesn't describe what your job is or any of those things. We do know what not slothful means. But what I'm after is, there's a lot of things you're going to have to determine. And that's something you should determine on a daily basis. There's one that you're using every single day, except whenever the days that you're off or the weekend. But that's again, something that should be utilized on a daily basis. And you may have certain things that you're going to face in your job. I know some of you have tests that you have to take. You have assessments and evaluations that you have to go through. That sometimes you have to sit down with your superior and you're going to have to talk with them and along those lines. By the way, there are certain jobs that you could have that could put you into a position where it really crosses the line from something that you hold and understand biblically true. And it may not be something that you would need your heart searched for on an average day basis. But you may find that you're going to be in a particular position at work that I'm going to have to choose a particular path I'm going to take. And I need to sort and settle this out that I could go this way, this way, this way, this way. Which one is the absolute best way for me to go? And those are all things that go into this. Again, this is going to have to take some work on your part to think about your own life. I can't think about your life and think it through on an individual basis at every Bible class. But that's part of the work you're going to have to do. And as you know, that fits perfectly with the fact that God is allowing us, our Father's allowing us to take that information, make these decisions, and do it on our own in connection with His will. And we are going to have to figure out what things about His will, you could say, the path He would go down without Him coming along and just simply telling us. That's what children have to be told. That's what the children of Israel were told. And by the way, that's not a better situation. It's a worse situation because they never knew why. They may have had all these things going on with them, but a lot of the things that they had going on with them, as far as God's omnipotent hand, He didn't tell them all the details of why. You don't tell children why. You just say, do it. If they ask why, well, in my house, that was worthy of a spanking, so you just didn't ask why. Because that was the quickest road to the dad's hand, and his hand was harder than any board I ever had applied to my seat of education. But a son is going to be involved with that aspect that we learned about back in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we may prove, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He's not going to come along and flat out tell you what it is. You're going to have to take the information as he taught it to you and make those determinations. And one of the things you're going to be settling out in sonship prayer is, this is my determined path, all right? Is that because my father taught me to do that, taught me to say that? Or is there a problem with that? Is that because I want to have some sanctimonious, trying to figure out a way to get some sanctified, you know, bitterness poured out on somebody that's the object of my anger or something? And so I'm just saying that to say that that would be a real red flag if you're trying to settle that out in sonship prayer. Your father is a whole lot like most dads are. It's very difficult to come to them and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. And it's totally against everything they are or ever have taught you. It's just very difficult to say that in the face of your father. Because, you know, it's just not going to go well. But there, you know, I would do that. If it was my dad, I could not go to him and say, well, I'm going to do this. And it flies right in the face of everything that he ever taught me. That is not going to be a very comfortable or pleasing conversation. Well, that's the way it should be in sonship prayer. That when you sit down with him and you begin to say, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this today. And it flies right in the face. And there's something in your inner man that tells you're aware of that. That's not what my father taught me. That's not the path he would take. And as you get on and on in the curriculum, you're going to get better and better at that. In fact, you're going to acquire, and you're already acquiring it to some degree, what Paul will call in the Corinthians, the spirit of that which is of God. And that's a small case S spirit. That's the way his mind works in you. And so this is one of the really great aspects of our sonship privilege, of communicating with our Father and some of the ways in which it takes place. You're now going to be in a position of responsibility, and there's going to be expectation on you to take this information and don't just make it as a piece of paper, or don't make it as just something that you've learned and acquired that's kind of like acquiring merit badges, but that you actually live. This is the way you live, the way you function. And so you yourself are going to prove that will of God as a son, and you're going to do that by exercising these skills that you've acquired of making wise and just decisions exactly the way your father would. And when it comes to testing and proving those things, the reality of that, or proving that maybe there's something lacking or missing, you're going to be talking with him about some specific examples, about what you're exactly going through, and how you're going to apply it to some particular details of your life. And we'll talk about this a little more at length when we go into the 139th Psalm, but that's what the searching of the heart really becomes when it becomes a real important matter to you and to your Father. But you're going to move in that direction by taking the information you know and intelligently operating upon it and speaking to your Father about it. That's one of the reasons why you settle those things out in some intelligent sonship prayer. If there's a problem in knowing even what to pray for as you ought, that's when you have this excellent ministry of the Holy Spirit, as mentioned there in Romans 8, 26 and 7 occur, and where both you and your Father can go on in the education unimpeded and realize that that's not going to be a major issue to you at all. And again, I'm truncating what I would say there because if we go into that, we're going to be going into a great big review. If you want more information, all of my class notes on this, or not my class notes, my actual notes on this are all available on the website, as well as all the audio. I was going to say video. There isn't any video. But all the audio. Well, One of the things I want to do is just say once again that I think we need to, before we go to the 139th Psalm, make sure that we're aware of why the searching of the heart needs to take place, because there's some things here in this proverb, here in Proverbs chapter 2, that is going to give us some more understanding of what's going on when we are going to be engaging in sonship prayer and why we would be doing it and what we're looking for. So what we're going to begin doing here, in fact, we're about out of time for the first session, and what I might do is just, like I said, I'm trying to get you out of here on time today. We're about 5 minutes or 4 minutes. I think what I'll do is stop it right there, and that'll take us pretty good then to dealing with these verses here in 6, 7, 8, and 9. And I know we've dealt with these before in a couple of times. In fact, there's five particular things that are said here that actually match up with the five probing questions that occur there in Romans chapter 8. But we're not going to be concerned with that so much as we're going to be concerned with some things about these paths that we're going to be walking. And so we're going to take a break right here. When we come back after the break, we're going to just remind ourselves a little bit more of this exhortation. And once we do that, then we're going to turn our attention to that 139th Psalm once again. And once we do that, we should be done with this review of sonship prayer. So we're going to stop right there, and we'll pick it up right after the break. So go ahead and take your little break, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes.